Then the devil cometh and taketh the word out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A novice, a young training monk, got terribly hungry. It can happen in a monastery. And seeing two loose eggs in a basket, pocketed them in his robe. But how to prepare them? Never mind. The next time prayers in chapel, his eyes fell on the sanctuary lamp, which was an old-style olive oil lamp lit by a wick. That's it, he thought. That's the ticket. No one will miss a little bit of the olive oil, which he drained off. And I'll just clip a bit of the wick, and I'm set to go to fry some eggs in my cell. Well, the novice master heard nothing, but he smelt the frying eggs in one of his novice's room, and he went to investigate. Usually when you get into trouble, you're not very smart about it. And he got caught, of course, and the novice master had him to tell the whole story, and he asked him, olive oil from the sanctuary, from the Blessed Sacrament, whatever prompted you, brother, to do such a dreadful thing? Well, Father, he said, it was the devil. He tempted me, and I fell. With that came the sound of a mighty smack coming, which knocked the novice off his feet, and a terrible sepulchral voice rejoined, I never even thought of that. The devil made me do it, they used to say, but not so much anymore today. No, we're in charge of our own lives. We are the masters of our fate. It all centers on me. I'm the decider. Here, Satan? That's for children, boogeymen of long ago. We're grown up now. If once there was a danger of blaming Satan for all the evil in the world, as if original sin and man's free will did not exist, surely today, in this man-centered age, the opposite danger grows far greater. To ignore his reality and his work altogether. It is true, where he reigns, he's a bit divided on the subject, but he does like to be worshipped. What are those slain babies of Vermont? In New York and Virginia legislatures, indeed of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, with its settled law, thank you very much. Abortion, which now brings you death at delivery, if you'd like. Open murder. What is all of this but human sacrifice and a snack for Satan to tide him over, to satisfy his appetite for worship. We prayed yesterday at Matins, every Saturday, I think of this, the 105th Psalm. They mingled among the heathens and learned their works, that would be us, and they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to devils, and they shed innocent blood. This appeases Lucifer for a time as he continues his work against Christ and his church. You know, they say that when the Antichrist comes, there will be no true sacrifice of the Mass at all for 3.5 years. We've been slowly sliding towards that state for 500 years and for 50 years. Do you remember the anniversaries of the revolutions? Martin Luther in 1517 and the great social revolution of 1968, which followed on the revolution of Vatican II. And next month, it will be 50 years since the Novus Ordo was imposed on every church in America. What is the linchpin that holds everything together in society? It is the perfect society, the Catholic Church, and the perfect sacrifice, the Mass. If you're a Catholic, you have the Mass. It may not be readily available to you, but it is yours without stain or taint. But Malachi, the prophet, calls the oblatio munda, the pure sacrifice, at whose most sacred moments, as we saw last week, I mean the canon, the Church withholds her prayers from those who are not of the household of the faith, because now, remember, we're in what they call the Mass of the faithful. Not the catechumens, but the faithful. That is to say, we do not pray for those who do not think aright at that moment, for those who are not orthodox at the consecration, for those who hold not their faith from the apostles. But to us, her children, who are members of Christ Jesus, she gives a true participation in this great sacrifice. Remember, the meum ac vestrum, my sacrifice and yours. We saw that last week. What do we see today, if you even glance at the headlines, and every day for a long time now? As the Mass has been done away, says the French abbot, we quickly fall again into a state of depravity. Can anyone deny that that exists today? This is the work of Antichrist. He takes every possible means to prevent the source of grace, which is the Holy Sacrifice. And his goal? He wants to remove the counterbalance, which you see outweighs our wickedness, so that God would destroy us. Why put up with us any longer? Remember the divine plan. You and I are meant to take the place of angels in heaven, angels who fell into hell by their disobedience and pride. So he goes after you. He does. You and yours. It is true. Have you thought of that lately? And how many do his work for him, like that poor hungry novice in my story? He thrives, the devil does, in hard, cracked clay and the dry soil of a soul, which makes religion to be dry and boring and cold and exclusively condemnatory, and gives forth thorns, sharp tongues, who say, well, life's for play and a little religion, that goes a long way. Cutting things short, chafing under the merest of disciplines, getting away always with the bare minimum. Or emotion. Emotion for a season, nostalgia. And then motion. They move on and they leave the Mass behind, lest believing they should be saved. But consider Satan's attack on the Church. Well, you know the story. I needn't tarry over the lurid details. But how many today in the world, even, who have no faith, have been sickened and scandalized by the filth in Rome and the perversion in the Vatican? A Martin Luther could not have made up more grievous accusations than this reality. And then the elaborate cover-up, the whole old boy network that still runs the hierarchy of that new religion, Vatican II. You know what we call the devil in the Catholic Church, beginning at baptism? Immundus spiritus, the dirty spirit. But how few know the source of this sordid reality. Where does the immorality come from? It is heresy and false teaching. It is a new religion and not the one revealed by our Lord and practiced by Catholics for 2,000 years. It is a false teaching which has led to this false living. And here we have a pope now, a pope, who promotes perversion by careful plan and step by step. How did it happen? I think it came about for one reason: the banishing of the holy. Anything, everything that smacked of the sacred had to be done away with, whether it be the Latin or the altar or the communion rail, whether it be the novena and the statues of the saints, and the abstinence on Friday, no meat because our Lord died on that day, and the rosary and the miraculous medal, and confession before communion, and all of the rest, to do away with the ideal or the goal of a godly, of a holy life, which is necessarily, like the communion rail, a separation. And thus, too, order is gone. Ordinary jurisdiction, I mean a hierarchy to whom we could answer. And the bishops aren't bishops and they're wolves. And order is gone, the sacrament of holy order, so there aren't valid priests anymore. And the church, as Our Lady said, is eclipsed and it's all dark. Any surprise, then, that order should be gone, too, in the soul, in individual lives, in marriage? No, it's no surprise. Rather, the surprise is that the seed should still sprout and yield fruit today, even, yes, a hundredfold. Imagine how many Catholics, true Catholics, we would have today in the tri-state if all of those who ever came once to such a mass as this and heard even once, which means the seed was sown in their field, if they had stayed and believed more. If all of those little seedlings we nourished once at baptism, at First Communion, confession, confirmation, since 1978, at St. Gertrude the Great, if they and their children had just stayed faithful Catholics today, how large would this church be? But for all of the above reasons, the seedling of a soul had the life choked out of it by thorns, or was rendered rootless by rocks, trodden down and then eaten by birds, or just no moisture. Still, we Catholics are here, and the sower goes out today to sow his seed. How many are we? It's a temptation to think that, but I came across something on Twitter this past week. They say that there are 1.2 billion Catholics, self-identified Catholics, in the world. Who knows exactly what that would mean anymore? And of these, 1% identify themselves as traditional. Again, who knows exactly what that would mean? And of that 1%, of those, there is another just 1% who keep the old faith with no compromise with the conciliar church, and the world calls them sede vacantes. 1% of 1%. And yet, everybody knows about us today, and the devil fears us, that simple logic of it. But what is our secret? Why is the seed still growing? The Mass, the pure Mass, the holy Mass. Dom Guéranger says, such an event in God's sight directly touches his glory, which is here at stake. For it is God's own Son who here offers himself as a victim in praise to the Father. And God cannot be indifferent to his own glory. He must be attentive to this sacrifice, and he must give us, one way or another, what we ask for at the altar. Remember the ends of prayer: to adore and to thank and to repair, reparation, and to implore for our needs. And what do we ask or implore for? In first place, for the Holy Catholic Church, which, as we just sang, is indeed the Noah's Ark of salvation. And our Lord does, the Father does. He does hearken to the cries and to the blood of his Son. At the consecration, who's calling? Who's praying? It is Christ Jesus here at the Mass. Time to get ready for Lent. This coming Lent, we will consider the four ends of the Mass and how that the Mass is God's gift, man's debt, and Satan's theft. God bless you as you prepare for a good Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.